Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are continuing our conversation with Lindy Campbell. She was diagnosed with lung cancer in 2017.
Yes, correct? That was when my surgery was.
That's when her surgery was. It was a two-year process. Lindy, as you'll see the picture on the podcast and our Facebook page or our website, hopeishere.today, very healthy, took good care of herself, was a non-smoker, but just started having a cough, some acid reflux, but still didn't feel that bad overall, but kept going back. The doctor just didn't have peace, and they sent a biopsy even to the Mayo Clinic, still showed cancer-free. But once they got in to do a little surgery on her, they found out it was cancer. So just a really powerful story that Lindy shared on the first 2 days of this week. So I want to encourage you to go back and make sure you take 14 minutes on your drive to work, while you're getting ready in the morning, while you're exercising, and listen to these two podcasts of Lindy's. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today, to hear about that. And she's become a big-time advocate now. You know, the Bible talks about, like in Joseph, what was meant for evil has been used for good. Well, that's what Lindy has done with this, of being diagnosed 1% chance of lung cancer, yet in the state of Kentucky, we have the highest percentage rate. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. Deaths and cases in the whole United States, Kentucky. We should not relish in those statistics, and that's why I'm fighting so hard to get my story told.
Well, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about that. You went to Washington, D.C. on your own dime, you know, went and met mm-hmm. with these Congress people. What kind of response did you get when you met with people?
Well, first of all, I think all of our congressmen for Kentucky should be on the Lung Cancer Caucus and sign co-sign this act that we're trying to get passed, as well as to get some additional funding for lung cancer coming from the state. So it's really making them aware of some of the state statistics. Now, I will say that two of the Andy Barr and Yarmouth are both on the caucus, and then Yarmouth does support the act. But it's really getting in their offices, and I encourage people, email them, write them letters, let them know every single congressman in the state of Kentucky should be supporting, should be on the Lung Cancer Caucus and supporting these causes that we're trying to push to get lung cancer statistics lowered. The death rates are the highest of any other cancer, and it's the lowest amount of funding. And people die of lung cancer more than breast, prostate, and colon combined. And it's just, wow. It has been suppressed because of the stigma. You don't see a lot of people out there fighting for it, because somehow people are saying, you know what, if you smoke, you deserve it. Do you know that smoking is tied in to 25 different cancers? And the stigma has to change. We have to get more non-smokers in the forefront, and that's really what I'm pushing for. And, you know, when we talk about my story and my faith and how it's come into play, you know, without my faith, I would just be wallowing in sadness and despair, or perhaps I would just be sitting on my couch going, you know, I survived, yay me, and living my life, floating in my pool, life is good. I can't do any of that. You know, that's not what God calls us to do. And sometimes our suffering can grip us so badly that unless we really pull into the depths of our faith and our, it really tests, faith is easy to proclaim, but it's in our greatest sufferings that our faith really comes to light, you know, and we really see, are we going to be mad at God? Are we going to blame God? Are we going to, what are we going to do with that place of suffering?
Well, and I love that's what you've chosen to do. We had David Kibler on last week, and he lost his son at the age of 10 days old, had to bury him, and mm-hmm. obviously it was painful, but he said his wake-up moment was that, you know, I was 30 years old. God had given me 30 years. My son only got 10 days. You know what? As the old saying goes, if you're standing on the curb, you're taking up too much room. And so he has jumped in and just done all types of things with helping cause awareness for foster parenting, adoption, and his church in Nicholasville, they've adopted over 60 kids in the past 5 years, families have. So I love that you take what could have been a hurt, the lung cancer diagnosis, and yet you said, you know what, I'm going to stand on my faith, and I'm not going to be bitter, I'm going to be better, and you take an action. So if somebody's listening out there today, Lindy, and you know, life's just been kind of hard for them, maybe their husband or their wife's walked out, maybe they've lost their job, maybe it is another type type of illness. Talk to them about faith and how you got to press into your faith when your circumstances aren't good.
Well, we talked about in one of the early segments, you know, in Romans, when it talks about that, you know, we can find hope even in our sufferings. And so if we can really look for that hope in our sufferings, one of my favorite scripture verses for years and years and years has been Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You have to find hope in them, even the most desperate of situations. What are your options? You know, God is there for us, and He can turn any of your sufferings into perseverance, and then, you know, strengthen your character, and then allow you to find hope and, you know, in the darkest of times. So it's really just relying on Scripture and relying on those promises and realizing that your faith is being tested. And what are you going to do with that? Because the enemy would love nothing more. Like I've said before, the enemy would love for you to just stay stuck there. He will take that and run with it. And not only will you suffer, but the people around you. And no one will benefit from the positive things in that story. You know, there's so many positive things that have come to light through my experience. And in some ways, my life has more meaning. It sounds really weird, but I have been able to channel my life for a purpose that I believe in, that I have to stand up for. And I think everybody can find that in anything, just like the gentleman that you just mentioned, or if people do go through divorces, or what can you do to take that and use your story to help other people? People really admire. It's uncomfortable at first, I think, sometimes, because, like I said, I don't want to be the face of lung cancer. But a lot of times God pushes us out of our comfort zone to really, you know, in our faith journey, getting out of your comfort zone is not easy. It's easy to stay right where we feel really good. And some people just repeat that journey over and over and over again. And I don't like this saying, but, you know, there is that saying that we're so heavenly bound, we're no earthly good. And I don't like that. I hope that nobody's really that way. But you can find people that just get stuck in this one message. And I'm all about being a seed planter. I don't need to stand back and watch the fruits of my labor. And, you know, God's going to do that. If I take my story and I do whatever I can to plant seeds of hope, seeds of healing, seeds of promise, whatever that is, as long as I'm planting seeds, God will do the rest. Maybe I'll see some of the fruits of that. He can grow anything as long as that seed's planted. And I don't, if whether it's advocacy in Washington, D.C., whether it's these t-shirts and asking people to get that message out for me, talking on radio stations, letting my face be the face of lung cancer and not this stigmatized vision that people have, I'm willing to do that. And you know, if we start investing in other people's stories by giving them the same hope that we've received in Jesus Christ through our own sufferings, then we have made this a much more bigger, glorious platform than a suffering that the devil can take and run with. And, you know, I said from the beginning, this is not a me thing. This is a we thing. And I get really uncomfortable talking too much about my story. It's more, what can my story do to help other people? So there are so many people suffering. When I went to D.C., most of these women caught their cancer in stage four. They're fighting to live for the next birthday of their child or an anniversary. So they are fighting for research and medicine, and I don't want to take any of that away. I want more and more money towards that. But my biggest advocacy is really concentrating on getting the word out that this disease is no longer just a smoker's disease, and we have to get that word out. We have to have more people. If you can look at me, like Greg, you're sitting across from me, can you see your sister or your, when I'm talking to younger people, I say mother, but you know, we're the same age. So I say, can you see your wife or your sister or your aunt or your neighbor, you know, or your friend that you love so much? Don't assume because they don't smoke that they cannot be the face of lung cancer. Until we start doing that, physicians, until non-smokers can sit in front of a physician and they can also see that your symptoms could potentially be lung cancer, not just an allergy or bursitis, or, you know, by the time it's spread, these other symptoms still are being chased down as something totally unrelated to lung cancer. But if you sat before them and said you were a smoker, they would look at you completely different. We have to change that stigma. And so that's really the biggest message I'm trying to get out with the shirts and with the pamphlet. And it's, you know, it is this fight. I start with Kentucky. I start with my story, and then it's Kentucky. When I go to D.C., it was to really fight for all these women who it's like this survivor's guilt that you don't want to have. And again, that's really why I'm using it to channel for change. It's just...
Well, I love it. Instead of saying why me, you're like, why not? And you are thankful, like you said, because some people don't get a chance. And I love on your brochure, the first thing on the front page where you say, fight for Kentucky, fight for change, fight for those who never had a fighting chance. And that's what Lindy's doing. So Lindy, you got these awesome t-shirts. We'll put a picture of that on our Facebook page so people can see that. But if they want to get one of these t-shirts to help, one, create awareness, but also help financially support, what is the best way for people to get in contact and do these things?
Well, right now we do have some order forms and shirts in Court Physical Therapy, and then you mentioned my email address. Maybe we could post that. It's breathofhopeky@gmail.com. all of this has been generated in 7 short months. This is part of my advocacy. I created the shirt. My mind is racing. I'm a thinker. I'm a doer. I'm come from a communication background, even though I work in my accounting office doing numbers all day. So that's what I do sometimes. I told my husband, this is my therapy. I sit doing numbers, but my mind just that creative side. And it's so you can email me. When you email Breath of Hope KY, you'll be talking straight to me. And the order forms will be in the Court Physical Therapies for a while. Court is only in Kentucky, so we're kind of in this, the court name, the Court Physical Therapy is in the state of Kentucky. So we're kind of in this fight for Kentucky together. So they're doing that. Right now I have some shirts and Queen Bee gifts, but most important, you can start with that email with me and we can talk. I've asked people for names and stories. I took some stories of people who've lost loved ones to D.C. I want their memory to stay with my story because this is really about honoring those who lost their lives, who didn't have a fighting chance, and being that voice for those hurting families so that they know, okay, my loved one's life, maybe my loved one's passing may come down the road to mean something for good. And then all those women right now that are living with cancer. This time last year, Greg, it was not on my radar whatsoever. And one quick thing, when you talk about sufferings, this time last year, my sister died in 3 weeks of a very rare brain disease. She was 57 years old, left behind a 10-year-old and 2 adult daughters. And, you know, we were devastated as a family. There is no good in that. But do you know that is what, when I came back, I re-reflected on, okay, I got to get to the bottom of this nodule in my lung. And it actually caused me to kind of reignite getting that last scan done and really getting to the bottom of what was going on. So even in this horrible suffering, we don't always know either what our horrible suffering might do down the road to benefit someone else. And so my message is, don't stay stuck in your story. What can we do with our story to find purpose, meaning, and the ability to help others? Don't stay stuck in your suffering.
Wow. Powerful story there by Lindy Campbell. And if you want to get in touch with her and say, hey, how can I be a part of this? Or get one of these really cool t-shirts that you'll be able to see on our podcast, on our Facebook page, hopeishere.today. But if you want to contact her, you can email her at breathofhopeky@gmail.com. That's breathofhopeky@gmail.com, and I hope that you'll be a part of that. So any closing words?
One last thing, I do want to say that all the proceeds of this shirt, I don't make a penny, it all goes to right now to support the Lung Cancer Alliance. So you are supporting a cause, lending your voice. Wear your shirt, lend your voice to this cause.
All right, Lindy, thanks so much for being here. What a just blessing. Make sure you get in touch with her at breathofhopeky@gmail.com. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.